John 16, we're going to start there in just a minute. John chapter 16, you know, as a preacher, I realize that there are 66 books in the Bible, there are 39 Old Testament books and 27 new, and within the pages of those are a host of topics and subjects and principles, and so there's a lot of ground to cover in preaching. And I also know that there's some subject matter that some in the pew appreciate, and it's very personal to them, and they make easy application. And at the same time, some of the same subject matter sort of leaves some folks out. For instance, if I get up and, you know, I preach on how to choose a mate, right? Well, many of you have already chosen one. Now, it may be the case that you might find helpful information, you might be able to advise somebody at some point, but, you know, you're kind of like, I see the need for it, but it really doesn't make, that's just not applicable to me per se. There's a lot of topics like that, right? So as a preacher, you're constantly trying to determine how can I preach something in such a way where no matter what the topic is, everyone can benefit from it. Other topics, however, you never have to worry about leaving someone out. This morning, it's one of those topics. Because if you've been reading in the One Word devotional book, word number 41, I think, is suffering. Suffering. Trial, tribulation, difficulty, hardship, heartache, disappointment. There's not a one of us that are immune from the subject of suffering. I'm supposing that, since I'm addressing folks who are in an assembly to worship God, if I were to ask you, would you like to be stronger? Would you like to be more faithful? Would you like to draw near to God? I'm assuming the bulk of you would say, yes, I would. What if I told you that for you to become everything God wants you to be, it may very well mean that you have to suffer for His cause and for His sake. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:7. Sometimes, to become that valuable, precious material, gold, if we're going to be gold for the Lord's sake, we have to pass through the fire. This morning's discussion surrounds suffering. Sometimes we serve the Lord superstitiously. This is what I mean by that. By this. We think if we're faithful and we live as we ought to live and we strive to do what's right and we seek first the kingdom of heaven, that will, again, provide us immunity from the sufferings of life. I think that's in the back of our minds sometimes. If I just live right, then, you know, the things that happen to other people, the bad things, the hardship, the suffering, it won't happen to me because I have a relationship with God and God's my Heavenly Father, and He'll protect me from all those kinds of things I told you about. A good friend of mine preached the gospel in a town not far from here. He left that place and went up north to preach, and his wife left him for a doctor that lived in the town, and he lost his preaching job, and he wound up just leaving the Lord. He left the church, went back into the world, and his mother called me and said, would you call him? I said, sure, I'll call him. So I called him. Asked him how he was doing, so forth and so on. And I got down to brass tacks. I said, hey man, how's your relationship with the Lord? What's going on? Well, he hemmed and hawed just a little bit. And I said, well, are you attending, you know, services somewhere? Do you have a church home? He said, well, no, I don't. He said, not at the moment. He said, I will, it's in the back of my mind, but just right now I'm just not ready for that. I said, what do you mean you're not ready for that? He said, well, I'm still upset. He said, I did all the right things. And what happened to me still happened. He said he did all the right things. Well, doing all the right things doesn't give you immunity from the effects of a fallen world. The most faithful man to ever live. The greatest man to ever live. The only man who never sinned suffered terribly at the hands of evil men. If Jesus suffered, how could we possibly expect that we can move through this world unscathed? Now here's what I want to say up front. There's suffering going on all around the world right now, even as we speak. There are people in horrible conditions right now. Somebody is hurting, whether it be mentally, emotionally, or physically. Somebody is dying even as we speak. And it will continue to be that way until Jesus comes again. But here's what I want us to remember. We win. Yes, there's suffering in the world. Yes, the world is fallen. Yes, creation's upside down. Yes, it seems like evil is winning. We win. In fact, when Jesus' disciples were about to face some extreme difficulty, they were all going to forsake him. Peter would deny him three times. Judas would betray him with a kiss. All would forsake him and flee. Jesus knew that beforehand. He was trying to get them ready. And so in John 14, 15, and 16, we have this wonderful discussion about what Jesus had in mind for them. He would not leave them alone, talking about his going away. Eventually, he'd ascend to the right hand of God, but Jesus would send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would remind them of all things. And so in the midst of that discussion, he's giving them words of encouragement because things are about to get hard. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And you come to the end of that discussion as he's readying his disciples in John 16. Verse 33, again he reminds them that he had spoken the things that he did that they might possess his peace. And then he said something that's just as true now as it was then. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We win. So we're going to talk about suffering this morning, but understand, as children of God, we may very well have to pass through the fire, but we win. Turn to Isaiah 53 for me, if you don't mind. Don't know how far we'll get this morning. I kind of like this double take, you know, Sunday, where I don't have to hurry through something and I can finish it up Sunday night. That way, you know, you get it twice. And, you know, this is one of those topics where you can actually experience it as I'm preaching it, since it's suffering. You know, how often do you get to actually feel what's being described? You know, it's wonderful. Here's what we know about suffering. Let's think for a few minutes this morning about the connection between Jesus and suffering. Greatest man who ever lived suffered. That's true. Should I be surprised if I suffer? Regarding the suffering of Jesus, it was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet 7 centuries before Jesus was born. Isaiah chapter 53. Be wonderful this morning to just spend all our time on that. But look at verse 3. You look at verse 4. You look at verse 7. Look at verse 10. You look at verse 12. Isaiah the prophet speaks of the suffering that the Messiah would face. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10, and verse 12. In verses 3 and 4, he's described as being rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. As we think of 7 and 10, I think it is, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Then again, it speaks of his grief. Jesus, before he was ever born, before he ever left heaven and came to earth, knew that he would come and struggle and suffer in a fallen world for fallen people who are suffering. If Jesus suffered, should we be surprised? When we do. Now here's something to think about. All of us go through difficulties. Job said trouble comes. It does for all of us. Are there any benefits? Let me ask you this. Did Jesus benefit in any way by his suffering? Well, let's think about it. Did Jesus benefit? If we can show that he ever benefited in any way from his suffering, then it might just be the case that as we suffer in a fallen world, as perhaps we suffer living the Christian life at the hands of other people, although we probably don't know what that's like as much as some people do in certain parts of the world, but it does come with the territory. Could it not very well be a benefit to us? Well, let's think about this. Hebrews chapter 5. The Hebrews writer was writing to Jewish Christians. He's writing to them Jewish Christians over there. Writing to Jewish Christians who were on the verge of leaving Christianity and going back into the world, going back to Judaism. And he talks about what Jesus has done for us on our behalf and how now he's our high priest. It's a weighty discussion. And if you're not familiar with Scripture, just to hear a discussion about Jesus being high priest might just kind of fly over the top of you. I don't know what any of that means. Well, I get it. I understand. The Hebrew Christians evidently were having a hard time understanding it as well, because he's going to talk to them about that at the end of chapter 5. But notice verses 8 and 9. We're asking the question, Jesus suffered. He came into the world to suffer. It was prophesied that he would suffer. Did it benefit him at all? Though he was a son, the text says. This is verse 8, Hebrews chapter 5. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who believe him or believe in him. What's the idea? Jesus' suffering tested him. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And when he came through it on the other side, when he said, "It is finished," he was perfected because he had gone through it and allowed it to be used in a way that now blesses all of us. And now, because of what he was willing to suffer, he is our author, our captain, our trailblazer as it pertains to eternal salvation. Did suffering benefit Jesus? By it, he learned obedience. He proved himself as Savior of the world. Again, back to this idea of Jesus and suffering. What about us? Jesus suffered. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about drawing near to God as it pertains to discipleship. What is a disciple? Disciple is a learner. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a follower. What's the goal of discipleship as it pertains to Jesus? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone that is perfectly trained shall be like his teacher. What are we striving to do in the here and now as we make our march toward eternity? We're striving to be conformed into the image God's Son. In other words, we're pursuing, we're working out our salvation, believing God will work in us and change us and transform us into the image of Jesus. In other words, we're striving to become more like our Lord every day. That's what discipleship is all about. And Jesus said on one occasion, he said, if the world hated me, it will hate you. If you were of it, it wouldn't. Paraphrase. But since you're not, it will hate you. And then he says, if the world persecuted me, it will persecute you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. If we are disciples of Jesus, ought we not understand and know we're going to suffer? It's true, even living just simply in a fallen world, everybody suffers. But there's a sense in which you stand up for what's right. In a world that's under the sway of the wicked one and his henchmen are going to kick you in the teeth. It comes with the territory. I want us to think about suffering. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. General epistle, practical Christian living, written to Christians who were struggling and suffering. And I know we've mentioned this before, but in every chapter of 1 Peter, something said about the sufferings of Jesus, every single one of them. And you could make a pretty good case that Peter argues that we ought to desire to identify with Jesus in that same suffering. When Paul talked about what he wanted, he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He said, I want to be just like Jesus. And he suffered, therefore I'm willing to follow suit if that's what I'm called to do. But 1 Peter is all about suffering. Again, I mentioned verse 7 a moment ago, the testing of your faith, gold passing through the fire. His recipients of the letter, they had been grieved by various trials. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. What about Jesus' suffering? We're thinking about the connection for a moment. Why did he suffer? Why did he choose to leave glory and come to earth, humble himself, take on the form of a bondservant, be found in appearance as a man? Why did he choose to do that? What was behind it all? 1 Peter chapter 4, just the first few words. Just the first few words. Therefore, since Christ also suffered for us, arm yourself with the same mind. And he talks about the need, since Jesus died to sin, or for sin, we ought to die to it. Same sort of mindset. But notice again those opening lines. Therefore, since Christ also suffered for us. I know we talked about this a little bit when we're in the class on suffering's place in the world a couple years ago now, however long ago it's been. It seems like it's week before last, probably 3 years ago. In the middle of suffering, whether we're talking about suffering because we're Christians or just dealing with the effects of a fallen world, it's easy at times to find ourselves thinking, God must not love me. The Lord must not care about me. Surely if he cared about me, he would not be allowing me to go through what I'm presently going through. And maybe most of us, if not all of us, at one time or the other, there's something that's happened in our lives where that thought ran through our minds. There is a God in heaven. He must not care much for me, or I wouldn't be where I am right now. Surely if there's a good God in heaven, he wouldn't allow this to happen. Now that is supposing that we know better than God. In other words, we know every circumstance that's ever transpired, ever will. We know the thought and decision of every man or woman who's ever lived. We can somehow, we don't know any of those things. But if we ever wonder, does God love us? Does he care about us? All we have to do is think about what's there in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. What's there in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21? Christ also suffered for us. All we have to do is look back at the cross. Look back at Calvary. Look back at Golgotha. Look back at what Jesus did when he died, suffering horribly, bearing the sins of the world, which was far worse than the physical pain. Calvary forever says what? God loves me. I don't care where you are, what's happening in your life. You say, but I don't understand it. Well, you're not built to understand it. You're just a human being, just like the rest of us. And here's the thing about suffering in this present time. Here's one of the benefits of suffering. It reminds us that we live in a world of sin. When sin and death entered the world, the very beginning with the sin of the first couple, eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything was turned upside down. They were in paradise, but they were banished, cast into a fallen world. Thorns and thistles and death and difficulty. Suffering is a reminder that sin's entered the world. We would not experience all the things we do that break our hearts and hurt our bodies if it weren't for the fact that sin's entered the world. But when we remember that sin's entered the world, we also ought to think that our hope, our confident expectation is there is a remedy to the sin problem. Yes, through Jesus we can have a relationship with God. The spiritual death problem that's entered in. That's the most important thing. Through Him, I can have a relationship with God. I can walk with God. I can be a part of God's story. And I'm headed in a particular direction. That's true, but also, when we recognize suffering and we understand that sin's entered the world, it ought to cause us to think about where are we headed? The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. And when He comes again, He will consummate all things. What does that mean? All of the wrong shall be made right. He already has overcome sin and death. And we can confidently expect it just as He did. Ultimately, so shall we. Eventually, we will dwell in the presence of God in an environment where all of the things that presently plague us and hurt us are no more. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's where we're headed. So in the midst of all of this suffering, whether it be for living the Christian life or just simply in a fallen world, what can buoy us up? What can keep us afloat? What can keep us strong? We win. You'll only suffer for a little while. And God says, I can take your circumstances and allow that suffering, and like raw metal through the fire, when you come to the other side, you'll be precious like gold. You'll be ready to hear, enter in, good and faithful servant. Suffering's not fun, but expect it. The answer to it is Jesus. Because out there in the future is the ultimate remedy. But Jesus says, you know what? Like I was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, I'll walk with you. Are you walking with Jesus this morning? Does it involve suffering? Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It does, but you're going to suffer anyway because you're in a fallen world. Why not walk with the Lord and have that confident expectation, that hope out there that one day, all of this will be eradicated and it'll all be worth it. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, will understand why. If you're in need of obeying the gospel this morning to become a Christian, or if you're in need of anything else, let us help you as we stand and sing.
I heard an old story.